Hello and welcome to the EV Cafe podcast, a podcast focused on that zero emission future that we all hope for. And every week I am joined by one of the wonderful members of the EV Cafe team. And this week, no exception, I've got the lovely John Curtis, fresh back from a bout of COVID, JC.
Well, yeah, I was a bit minging, and I do apologise if I have to cough at some point during this brilliant interview. But yeah, it's fabulous to be back doing things that I absolutely love.
Glad to have you back, JC. But even better than that, we talked to the wonderful pioneers, collaborators and innovators in our industry. And I'm really excited to be talking today to a brand new gold sponsor in Iveco and Mike Cutts, the business line director for the commercial vehicle, the vans. Mike, welcome.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Hello.
We are good, well, sir. Fab. More importantly, how are you?
Yeah, I'm feeling like I need some matching glasses so that we've got a trio of spectacle. I need to go to Specsavers and
should have gone to Specsavers. I think
Specsavers, yeah, but no, I'm good, thank you.
Excellent. And showing off with all that hair is just damn rude, in my humble opinion.
Spread it around a little bit. You can have a
spread the love. Absolutely,
you can have some of your cast offs.
Mine's just all slid down, and we really don't want to go there. Anyway, so Mike, listen, really big welcome from us to you to this podcast. But tell us a little bit about your role and really the journey that Iveco are on and have been on, and some of the exciting stuff that is happening right as we speak. It's really great to watch.
Yeah, no worries. So I am a light business line director for Iveco in the UK and Ireland. What does that mean? Basically, anything that has a daily badge on it is kind of falls under my sphere of influence and responsibility. So, you know, going back 4 or 5 years ago when I first joined the business, that was all about diesel and to a certain extent a little bit about CNG because we produce gas vehicles as well. But obviously, the market's evolving super quick, and we now have electric vehicles to come to market. And one of my, I guess, key focus points has been over the last few years is to bring the eDaily to market and really drive some awareness into the market about what we have and what we can do for people. Because we are, I guess, what you could call a challenger brand in respect that, you know, our market share is around about 6-7%. So there's a lot of people out there that don't really know much about us and maybe have a perception of us from years and years ago, which is very different to maybe what we have today. So for me, my responsibility is to shout as loudly as possible about all the great things that we do and how we can help customers on their journey, in this case, towards electrification.
Well, collaboration with the EV Cafe hopefully will amplify this message, because I'm very lucky in, or at least this is the way I see it, in that for the last couple of years I've had the pleasure of walking alongside this journey a little bit in terms of the electrification. Mike, how did you come about this strategy of electrification? Because I mean, it's been very very ordered and very well executed, and the level of knowledge that you guys have come to market with around electrification, in particular the van sector, it does leave a lot of the others in the dust, if I'm being really honest. And it's not just because I'm talking to you. I think you guys have come to market extremely well educating the market. How did you arrive at that strategy, and what were the key things that you wanted to exercise in that process?
I wish I could take all the credit for it, but I can't. I've got to thank the very brainy people at our factory for a lot of it, to be fair. You know, Iveco, if you don't know, stands for Industrial Vehicle Corporation. So we've got a long heritage in building very robust and trusted vehicles. And with that engineering background becomes a lot of focus on technology and innovation. As part of the wider Iveco group, we have a lot of parts of our business, like Iveco Defence, for example, where we build military vehicles with a lot of very advanced technology. And so all of that DNA washes through into our commercial vehicle range as well. And the factory have really produced a fantastic product with some innovations in there that are really pushing the market forward in some really fantastic ways. And so we're bringing to market, everyone talks about a product being game changer. It's like the tagline that everybody uses. But when you look at what our product can do, it really is changing the game for a lot of operators. So, you know, we've got a great product which can do lots of great things. For me personally, my role before working at Iveco was actually working for a CPO. So I had a year at Podpoint, and that was a great eye-opener for me to really understand the industry a lot more and understand what makes it tick. And then bringing that experience into an OEM and then having the opportunity to launch the eDaily gave me all of the ingredients that I needed to really drive that forward with the right knowledge base of knowing how the industry works and what people need from an EV. So I guess it was kind of a perfect set of ingredients to do it.
Mike, let me just pick up on that, because until very recently, you know, vans, whatever, it was all about cars for me.
I'm sorry, and Mike, what Paul, can I say?
That's where you're going wrong.
This is like a confession. And Paul has helped me to understand the commercial vehicle space. And when I came across Iveco for the first time was on the EV rally last year. And we were lucky enough to have the eDaily, which is an incredible machine. And we went, I think, to the third steepest hill in the UK. And this eDaily battered up this hill like nobody's business. But what was even more incredible was that it was pulling a digger behind it on a trailer. So it has enormous amounts of power, but it's able to be a really practical piece of kit. And anything you can do in a traditional diesel van, you can do in an eDaily. It's just stunning. And I speak as somebody who knows bog all about vans, but my Lord, that's a piece of kit.
Yeah, I mean, it, one of the key things in our product DNA is that we're predominantly a B2B customer base. So, you know, our customers do really tough things with our vehicles. You know, they're on construction sites and they're towing, they're converting the vehicles for specific missions. So look, for us, it was really key that, you know, as we transition from diesel to electric, we have to keep customers satisfied in doing what they do every day. So one of the key things is that, you know, they built the engineering of the product around having the capability to tow 3.5 tons of standard, which is what our diesel product range has been known for years. So having that, you know, ability to just continue on as we were before just happens to have batteries under the skin of the vehicle rather than a diesel engine. Is you know, just the evolution of the technology, but ultimately the customer can carry on doing what they've always done, and that helps to protect our existing customer base, but it also opens the industry up to us as a brand, where our competitors just aren't offering the same solution. So it gives us a great opportunity to protect our existing customers, but also hopefully reach out to some new people as well with that.
I think Iveco are answering a large number of questions that the market has had. And I think your first movers into the towing space, into significant power takeoff space, and, you know, the battery flexibility and also the weight flexibility all the way up to 7.2 tons, giving incredible payloads, really make a difference. But we get it. The vehicle is absolutely brilliant. Iveco meeting the needs of the missions of their customers are brilliant. But Mike, listen, I look at you and the way that you're bringing this to market, and I see a man on a mission himself, not just missions for your customers, but a man on a mission himself. And as I look back at your history and all of that sort of stuff, you know, I wouldn't have said you'd have ended up dealing with vans. Now, I wouldn't have said I would have ended up dealing with vans. I fell into it. How did you fall into it? Because I know your deep, dirty secret is you sold cars once, you know, and I did too. We've all seen it. We've all seen the car side of the world. But how did you get into vans and really who, you know, how was that man built that wanted eventually to go into the automotive sector?
A bit like you, I kind of fell into it by accident. So, you know, going back to university, I had a sandwich year where I could have a year in industry. And I had two job offers on the table. One was to work for a company that I don't even know if they're still around anymore, Northern Foods, that make chocolate biscuits and frozen food. And I had another job offer to go and work for Vauxhall. And I'm a bit of a car nut. I love my supercars. I love driving fast cars around tracks. And I was like, as much as I love chocolate, I just couldn't get excited about chocolate biscuits and frozen food. But I could get excited about cars. So I was like, let's go for Vauxhall. That sounds like a good option. And like a lot of people, once you get into the automotive industry, you never get out. So you kind of, you know, I went into Vauxhall as an undergraduate and then went back as a graduate. And yeah, I was selling cars on the fleet sales side of things for quite some time, did a bit of time in marketing. But obviously Vauxhall sold vans. And actually what was really quite interesting is that cars are quite vanilla in respect of, you know, they just move people around and there's not a huge amount to, you know, to do with a car. But vans are actually quite interesting because you can just do so much more with them. The versatility, the needs of the customer. I find that really a lot more satisfying and interesting with what that vans ends up doing and turned into. So my career kind of then started to kind of move towards commercial vehicles more than cars. And that's kind of carried on all the way through my career. I'm very much a van man. Even though I still, you know, love to drive some fast cars around tracks. You know, it's it's trying to strike the balance, but that van is where my heart is. And you know, working for a brand like Iveco is great because, you know, they take vans seriously because that's all they do. We are very much focused on what that customer needs.
So we can finish the podcast now. I'm happy. We'll just keep it. That's it. Vans are where my heart is. I'm a van man. Vans are more interesting. All of that. It's been lovely talking to you. And thanks, everybody. And
you are right, Paul. I think, you know, we've just worked very, very hard with a lot of trade bodies to put together the van plan, the plan for vans, a demand of government for additional support to help businesses make that transition to electric commercial vehicles. And it is critical that the business sector gets the same support as cars needed, that initial funding and support to enable people to make the transition and to discover for themselves. But you just can't beat getting your bum in a seat of any electric vehicle to see just how good they are. I speak as a petrol head like you, Mike, and you know I'm somebody who would quite happily take to a track, but driving an EV is massively exciting and interesting. Do you agree? When was the first time you drove an electric vehicle?
Probably five years ago. When I was actually working at Podpoint. So in the role that I had, I was working with the OEMs and it was all about home charging. So we used to get the first vehicles in the country into Podpoint so we could test to make sure that the chargers worked with the cars and there wasn't any issue with software and things like that. So it was great, actually, because we got to see all of the latest vehicles that hit the market before anybody else. So, you know, I got to drive one of the first I-Pacers, one of the first Audi e-trons, one of the first Hyundai Konas. So my experiences of EVs have probably been in the new generation of EVs rather than maybe the old, you know, Nissan Leafs and EMV200s of the past. So I've probably got a slightly maybe more positive perception of EVs because I got them when they were on their next round of generation. But you're right. I love driving them. You know, the acceleration of an EV, even compared to a, you know, high powered petrol, it's just off the charts. And, you know, when you look at the eDahlia, you put it into power mode and you go up a steep hill, you know, you just understand the capabilities of the torque that these vehicles can supply. It's just brilliant. Really, really good.
We have a video outtake of me accelerating from zero for a video that we did. And I was absolutely staggered to the point where I think I frightened Paul.
You definitely frightened Lisa, because Lisa was standing beside the camera. And so John puts his foot to the floor, not realizing, I don't think, that the take-up was instant and sort of accelerated out of the yard past Lisa, who exclaimed, let's say,
But she did mention she was a little bit scared for a moment where you thought you were just going to plow straight on into a wall or a truck or something in the car park.
I've had people hand me the keys to Mercedes SLS and AMG. I've had keys to Lamborghini Aventador. Just there you go. Take it out. And I can honestly say that thing, the eDaily, would have left them for dead.
In the first 10 yards, maybe.
yeah, but that's all that matters.
But we don't want that. That's let's talk about the world record, if I may. Let me set this up for you, Mike. So there was a world record achieved by the Iveco eDaily, and listen, these things don't happen by accident. These are really clever ideas to demonstrate things. And obviously, you know, the media and the marketing is important, and I get that, but it needs clever ideas. And Mike, it was a stroke of genius between you and I'm sure Lisa and the team to come up with this idea. But the thing that interested me most, and I think this is the exciting bit, when you put your foot down on a vehicle almost all of the time, the wheels spin, right? The wheels spin, you get, you know, there's no management of that power, or for at least for a moment or a second or two. But what I loved about the Iveco eDaily, as it did this world record, which we'll hear about now, it was towing world record. So it was a very heavy weight, and the foot went to the floor, and the wheel just inched forward as it began to take the world record. Power management was critical in that. But Mike, tell us about the world record. I'm not going to steal your thunder.
Well, someone actually asked me the other day where the idea came from, and I said to them, actually, I was on holiday, laying on a sun lounger with a beer in my hand, thinking, how can we promote 3.5-ton towing on an eDaily? And I thought, world record sounds good. Let's have a go. So I keep telling everyone I need to go on holiday more, because, you know, these great ideas come from sun loungers. So I'm not quite sold that into the business yet, but I thought it was worth a try. The towing world record. So 130 tons was the previous record set by Tesla. About 3 years ago, they decided to tow a Qantas jet down a runway. We thought, well, we can do better than that. So I emailed the factory and said, what do you think we can tow with our eDaily? And they were like, why? And I was like, well, I think we can maybe do something quite special here. And so they went away and crunched the numbers and did a paper-based exercise, which always entertains me. And they said, I think we can do 150. I said, well, how confident are you that we can do 150? They said, we should be able to, but we don't really know. And then at the end of the email, it just said, good luck. So I was like, okay, fair enough. I'll take that as a challenge. So we hired a runway at Blackbush Airport, and we connected three vehicles up to a total weight of 153.58 tons. Hooked the eDaily up with a custom tow bar, because the standard tow bar just would have snapped off. We got Britain's strongest man, Adam Bishop, in the driver's seat. as we thought that was a really nice brand synergy of world's strongest man in Britain's strongest van. We put the foot to the floor, and very slowly the vehicle pulled all the vehicles down the runway and set the new record. On the wheel spin, we were a little bit worried that we were going to just burn the tires out. So we did actually put a ton of payload on the rear axle in the back of the van. So you could argue that we actually carried 154 tons because we had an extra ton in the back. I don't know how much Adam weighs. We weren't counting his weight in that.
155.
He's a pretty big guy. So we did put a bit of ballast on the rear axle just to give the tires a little bit more traction. Thankfully, it wasn't a dry runway. The guys in the PR agency were laughing at me as I was walking up and down with a leaf blower an hour before the record attempt to dry the tarmac. This is the length of commitment that I go to get these world records set. So you can imagine me driving up and down the runway with a leaf blower in the back of my car, but, you know, needs must. So we had a dry runway. And to be honest, the van just performed fantastically well. We didn't have a practice run. We just turned up, hired a runway, got all these vehicles there and kind of trusted that the paper-based simulation from the factory was going to be all right. And thankfully, we pulled it off and then created that fantastic video. I think it's had about 110,000 views on YouTube, and it's reached over 70 million people on social media so far. So Just, you know, a brilliant achievement. I never get bored of watching it. I think everybody else does, but I love watching it because, you know, it just really brings good. Back such good memories of drying tarmac with a leaf blower, if nothing else. So.
Well, Mike, we'll make sure that the link for that video is in the description for this podcast, so that people, if you hadn't noticed it until now, go back to the link and go check it out, because it is definitely worth watching. It's quite inspiring. Very well done video. John?
You make it sound, Mike, like you don't do business as usual, but I know that you work incredibly hard at the routine things, the mundane things of life that keep your business focused in the right direction. And that's very similar to logistics, I guess. You know, it's not all glamorous and sexy. There's an awful lot of hard work that goes into the hours that your vehicles work. For you as a business leader, what does success look like? Because, you know, doing the flashy and doing the, not flashy, but the big statements, the, you know, this thing can tow a jet, you know, is impressive. But there are some more granular things that you're trying to achieve in the industry and with Iveco. What are they?
You know what? I think my ethos has always been lead by example. So, you know, our customers expect the best, and, you know, for them, downtime is critical. So as a business, we have to perform for them. And in order to do that, we have to lead by example and be the best at everything that we do. So, you know, I always set myself high standards and expect high standards from the team, and that trickles down all the way through my business line and our operation. And hopefully customers then kind of see the benefit of that in the fact that, you know, what we offer, what we supply, we deliver on, and we try our best to execute being the best at what we do. You know, we are, as I said, an industrial vehicle brand. And so, you know, we take operation and downtime really seriously. And that's what our dealer network's known for, you know, with regards to it being a truck-based network that our customers rely upon to keep their businesses moving. And, you know, we've got great product, which is half the battle, but we also have to keep those vehicles on the road. And so making sure that we've got the right customer service and after-sales support in place for those customers, that if they do drop a van or a truck off at 6 o'clock at night, that it's ready for the next day when they start their next day's work. So 24-hour servicing and those things are really important to our customers. You know, where, as I said, we're a B2B business, we're not a B2C. So our customer expectations of how to run their fleet are a lot more demanding than maybe what a retail customer would be. So we've got to be very mindful of that in everything that we do.
And that's going to place significant strain on you as the leader of that business. How do you relax? How do you get away from all that? A 24-hour, 7-day-a-week business. What keeps that smile on your face?
Well, day to day, I've got a lovely little dog called Whiskey who gets walked frequently to give me some time to have some breathing space from being chained to a Teams call for 12 hours a day. So the dog gets walked a lot, whether or not he likes it or not. but what do? For fun? So I like to set myself a challenge. So, you know, I've run London Marathon twice. Last year I did the London to Paris bike ride with Transaid, having not practiced at all and regretted it for all 3 days of the trip, but, a great achievement. And, I'm counting down the days because in a couple of weeks I'm off to Austria snowboarding for a week as well. So I do like an extreme sport, and riskier the better, because it definitely means that you're not thinking about work, because, you know, you've got to think about doing things properly. So, yeah, that for me, I've tried to learn to play tennis as well. I'm not very good, but I'm trying. So yeah, sport and exercise is definitely the kind of the break that I try and get myself away from work when I can.
But even then you push hard. I mean, I think what's coming through is here is a man who is totally driven to be the best they can be at whatever it is they do.
Yeah. You know what? I am a bit of a perfectionist, and that sometimes plays into my favor and sometimes maybe not. If I'm going to do something, I do it because I like to win and I want to be the best at what I can do. So, yeah, I always give everything 110%. And that comes through in work as well as leisure as well. So, yeah,
it begs the question for me, because when I look at myself and I look at John, and John and I have got to know each other over the years, and people that we get to know really well, what we understand is that as we grow up, there are certain things that kind of form these intrinsic things of later life. So here's an adrenaline junkie, a bit of a perfectionist, driven, wanting to win. I suppose if I was to be a blunt, if it was a blunt question, I'd be saying, where did you have to fight and why? What formed that in you, Mike? But that's what it speaks to, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's that nature nurture thing, isn't it? If you kind of look back and you go, how did I end up where I am, and why I am the way I am? I think, you know, my parents had a big influence on the way that I am as a person. They were both working class. They, you know, they worked damn hard to put me through university, and in their view, give me the best start in life, like every parent wants to do. So I always felt very grateful for, you know, the work that they put in to give me the opportunity to kind of progress a successful career. And I think maybe that's why I'm so driven, because I always feel indebted to them to do everything I can to give them the payback on what they put in. So there's a lot of drive comes from kind of just the way that I was brought up. And, you know, I was encouraged to go out and get a job as soon as I could. So, you know, I was doing the paper round at 12 years old in the rain at 6 a.m. before school. And I enjoyed making money and I enjoyed working, and I was always encouraged to kind of do that from an early age. And obviously once I then had the opportunity to go to university and then kind of fall into the automotive industry, it then just progressed and that driven ambition just kind of took it from there. And, you know, I've been lucky enough to work for some great brands and see the evolution of the automotive industry progress really quite rapidly now. It's a really exciting time to be in the industry because it's changing faster than it's ever changed in the last 100 years, in the next 10 years. So it's a great time to be on that journey. And been lucky enough to have some great managers along the way that have really showed me what good looks like and kind of tailor that to my own style moving forwards and kind of just progress up the career ladder to the point I'm at today. So yeah, it's been a crazy but a really enjoyable journey so far. What the next 10 years looks like, I've no idea, but I'm enjoying it at the moment. That's the main thing.
And you know, when I look back, it first of all, it's refreshing to know that actually a good childhood with minimal drama, but real passion, can produce driven, focused, high achievers like yourself. And it's interesting that as you go through, you recognize the influence of the brands and the people along the way. Does anybody stand out as you know, somebody that has been a big influence to you throughout your career, let's say?
I have to give a shout out to one individual. So when I was an undergraduate at Vauxhall, I happened to fall into the fleet marketing department at Vauxhall, and I had a great manager there, Linda Unsworth. And she, you know, she was very good at taking undergraduates under her wing and showing them what a professional job and a company looks like, because, you know, you've had experiences and things in the past, but when you suddenly get thrown into a blue chip company, you're a little bit like a rabbit in headlights. And she was very good at kind of nurturing undergraduates to kind of shape them into a professional. And she put a huge amount of time and energy in that, not just for me, but I know that she had lots of undergraduates over the years that kind of went through that mold. And have all gone on to do some really fantastic things and all in really fantastic jobs now. So, you know, I think a big shout out to Linda for starting me on the journey. And the crazy thing is her mum interviewed me because she worked at Vauxhall as well. And she Brilliant. Gave me the opportunity to be an undergraduate there in the first place. So it was very much a family affair at the time. So, yeah, I'd say that was probably my biggest early influence and really Amazing. Then set me up for the future.
You spoke, Mike, you spoke there about others going on to success. What are you most proud of having achieved? Because clearly there's a lot of success in there, 2 London marathons, the ride to Paris. You know, you push yourself all the time, but what's the thing that's brought you that feeling of, yes, I did that?
You know what? It's kind of just looking back and seeing how you've been able to make a lasting positive impact on people and the results. You know, I've always been one for trying to see the product of what you've put in. So much so that, you know, I enjoy mowing the garden just because at the end I like looking at the lawn and going, that looks much better than what it did before. It's that idea of you put something in and you can see something tangible coming out of the back end. And, mm-hmm. and you know, look, the 4 or 5 years that I've been at Iveco, the, you know, we've managed to double the market share. You know, we've gone from 4.5% to 9% in 4 years. You know, there's not many opportunities and brands that you can go in and say you've doubled their market share in 4 years. So, you know, results wise, I'm really proud of that achievement, because we can see when we started the journey and where we've got to now. But also I see the team that I've got, I can't achieve that on my own. You know, it's a team effort, and, you know, everybody's played their part in achieving that. And that's what makes me probably more proud, in the fact that all those individuals, you know, I've got pretty high standards and I expect that from everybody, but actually they're all willing to put the effort in for me and for the business and for the brand. And the outcome is what you can see today. You know, winning LCV Manufacturer of the Year at the end of last year for Greenfleet, for me, that just epitomizes what we've managed to achieve, being recognized as a manufacturer for that achievement and not just product awards, shows that it's about us as a business that have achieved what we've achieved. And that is a team effort, and everyone plays their part. So, you know, that was a really great moment for me, because it shows we're being recognized now And going back 4 or 5 years ago, I could never have imagined that happening. So, you know, we've been on a really big journey in the last 4 or 5 years, and being at the front of that is really satisfying.
It comes across time after time after time. When we speak to business leaders like you, the one shout out, forget the technology, forget the boxes of electricity, the vehicles that you're producing. This is a people business. It doesn't matter about, you know, whether it's 400 volt architecture or 800 volts or whether it's a commercial vehicle or a car or whatever it is. It's about the people that deliver it.
Yeah, definitely. You know, and one thing that I've always learned when I went into sales is people buy from people.
Mm.
And it's the relationship that counts. And, you know, the relationships with our customers are key. And if you don't have that, you don't have anything. So, you know, it is a people business, and that's, you know, has to be the number one priority. And look, you know, we have to look after each other because, you know, they look after the business, right? So that's what it's all about.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And, you know, I know that other brands that haven't worked with their people and, you know, are suffering as a result of it, that, you know, where you see great change in terms of the personnel, lots of people going out because, you know, things are not as good, and it does make a massive difference. But I think it's worth just adding some context, Mike, to the level of achievement, because I've been in this industry for over 20 years in the commercial vehicle sector, and Iveco have never been much more than a niche brand solving niche problems, and somewhat the reputation has fluctuated over that time period. I think most people that have watched the Iveco brand would say that. But as I look at it today, you see the growth from 4.5% to 9%, because it's a perfectly worthy product, right? It's a solid product, you know, industrial vehicle company. These people are people that build things that will do stuff, missions, and it's really beginning to be taken very much more seriously. And I think the electrification piece has really put the cherry on the cake from that perspective, because you've come and said, listen, actually we believe so much in our mission and our people are so good at delivering what we want that you can consider an electric vehicle, which is arguably streets ahead in many aspects of electrification in customer missions. I mean, you know, from a generic electric van, maybe it's got competitors, but for anything that needs specialism. And I think that context is important, the level of achievement and the journey that Iveco are on. It does really stand out to me. There's no question in there, really. It's just a big pat on the back. Yeah, it's a big pat on the back that the journey that Iveco have been on. From a commercial vehicle perspective. Go on, sorry.
Look, we've got plenty more to go at. You know, we've only really just got started, to be fair. And we've been on a great growth curve with diesel, but with electric, it opens us up to an even bigger market because of what the vehicle can do. So that's the exciting thing for me, is that, you know, we can just build and grow on what we've done so far. So yeah, for me, it's exciting times ahead. It really is.
And I suppose with that in mind, Mike, just as we kind of come to an end of this session, obviously we get to talk to you guys a few more times through the year, and there'll be more to come. But what does 2024 look like? What are you going to be? What's the stall being set out?
Look, I mean, number one priority on the EV side is that we've got a ZEV mandate to hit. So, you know, we need to register 10% of electric vehicles this year if we don't want to pay a fine. So, look, the good news is, from our perspective, we're well on track to achieve that. We've got a great product, and we'll soon be announcing some very significant fleet deals that we've secured, which will help drive us towards that number. Where our product is right up those customers' street. So, look, I think for us, it's about number one, hitting the target. Number two, driving awareness, just shouting as much as we can about our brand and our product to just make people know that we're here and what we can do for them. And then number three, just putting our foot on that electric accelerator and driving the growth.
Got a question to finish, Mike, if I may. I'm a bit of a pedant when it comes to pronunciations. And on this podcast alone, I've heard Iveco, Iveco, Iveco. How does one pronounce the brand name?
You can pronounce it however you want.
As long as you buy one.
I feel there's a whole piece we can do about how different people pronounce the brand name. I flip between all of them. I normally go for Iveco, but I think it's Iveco is the proper way because it's industrial vehicle corporation. So Vico.
Right.
Apparently Vico, that's Lisa tells me off every time that I say it because I say it the wrong way. But you get the idea.
Absolutely. I think you just it's fabulous. I love this sort of, because it's a discussion point in itself. You know, is there a right? Is there a wrong? It actually doesn't matter because it's just a brilliant vehicle from a great company staffed by an incredible group of people. It's just honestly, I mean, I'm beside myself with excitement that you're a gold partner. Mm. It almost doesn't matter. That vehicle is just stunning.
Mm.
Yeah, we love it. And
of course, I'm in full agreement. You know, I remain independent, as you know, Mike, and I'm always going to talk about the industry and all of the good vehicles in it. So it's great for me that a product that is leading the way has chosen to partner with us, because I get to wax eloquent even more about the brilliant things. But what's been nice today is, Mike, that we've got to know you a little bit as well. And, you know, we can be just as confident in the people as the vehicle. In fact, more confident in the people that are bringing this vehicle to market. And it's been a real joy. So I've enjoyed today. And hopefully everybody listening will have enjoyed getting to know the real Mike Cutts. Will the real Mike Cutts please stand up? Please stand up.
I got a question.
Oh, okay.
If somebody has been stimulated sufficiently to find out more about the eDaily, Mike, where do they go? How do they do that?
Well, I guess they've got a few options. You can go to our main .co.uk website, where there'll be all of the product information on eDaily. You can visit one of our dealers and discuss with them your own local requirements. Or message me on LinkedIn, and I always respond.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate that.
And all those relevant links and comments will be in the podcast details. So if you have been stimulated and you are interested in more news about the Iveco eDaily or the Iveco brand as a whole, or just want to get to know Mike better, he always responds. So whatever it is, please do get it checked out. It's been a real joy, Mike. Thank you for today. John, always good to hang out with you and chat with these lovely people. Please do check out all of the other podcasts and follow us on LinkedIn, and also head over to the website where you can find all the content, and do look out for shows that we're at. We're going to be at the Everything Electric Show, Commercial Vehicle Show, Fleet Mobility Live, London EV Show, all of those. And Mike will probably be there now because the Iveco eDaily will be with us on all of those shows. So that's really good news. And it's going to look pretty special too. So come check it out. Have a great day, everybody. And thanks, Mike. Thanks, John.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Bye.